You'll turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Amos. As we continue to work our way through the book of Amos, prophet of the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets, called so because the book happens to be a little shorter than some of the major prophets. We'll be looking this evening at Amos chapter 3. I plan to read verse 1 through verse 8, but our text for this evening will be focusing on verses 3 through 8. So let us now hear God's word beginning in Amos chapter 3 and verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has caught nothing? Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has caught nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is a calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. Our God, we love your word. We love to hear from you. We desire to be wise according to your word. We desire to hear what you would have to speak to us this night as your people. Help us to understand your word, to apply it, to understand the context in which it was given to Israel, how it would apply to us as your people today. Ultimately, that you would be glorified, that we would receive what you have planned for us in and through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week, I believe I was driving, and all of a sudden, I heard a noise. I rolled down my window, and I heard a siren going off. I was thinking, well, that's kind of strange. It was a tornado siren, and I'm driving, and I'm thinking, what's going on? I was a bit concerned. Then I made the connection. I remembered, I realized, it's Wednesday. It's 11 o'clock. It's the first Wednesday of the month. Of course, it's the test. They're testing the tornado siren. And then I was no longer concerned. I'm glad that they have this test. I'm glad that they have this advanced warning system in place, because I have personally been through a tornado. I've been home when a tornado struck my house. It's not something that you really want to go through. I'm glad that they have these warning systems, because I want to get as much warning as I can if a tornado is truly coming. Because when a tornado comes, it can come very quickly. And even with the warnings that are given, there might not be very much time to get to someplace safe. But I'm even more thankful that God, in His Word, gives advance warning. He gives advance warning. And He gives warning not in a short period of time, as if a tornado warning would come out and tell us, and here it is, but He gives such long-suffering, as we might put it, such patient warning to us. He sounds the alarm well in advance of His coming judgment. But He does sound the alarm. We're going to look at Amos bringing and reinforcing the alarm that God is sounding to Israel at this time. But what we will see is this reality that no one will ever be able to say to God, you didn't warn me. You didn't warn me. Adam in the garden couldn't say. Now, Adam gave a lot of excuses in the garden, didn't he? But he didn't say, God, you didn't tell me that if I ate of the tree, I would die. God, you didn't warn me. Those who were swept away by the flood in the days of Noah couldn't say, God, I had no idea a flood was coming. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He had warned them over and over again. Lot's sons-in-law, who were burned up in Sodom, couldn't say, no one told me. And so it is today. Those who reject Jesus today cannot say, I did not know the Messiah had come. You see, those who are condemned are not condemned because they did not have light, but because they rejected the light they had. John 3:19, this is the condemnation. That light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Romans 1:18-19, those who reject God suppress the truth and unrighteousness. They know of it because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. And the Israelites here, as Amos comes to them and out of an act of kindness brings warning, they reject it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to believe it. They become complacent. We might put it like this. They believe they'd been elected, selected, and therefore they would always be protected. But Amos is coming and he's telling them, this is what's coming. This is what the Lord is telling me. I'm a prophet. I'm only just telling you what God has said. Listen to me. I'm coming because I care about you. You know, Amos could have sat at home, much like Jonah wanted to do. Remember Jonah? He was sent to Nineveh, and he said, no, you know what? I do not want to go, because they might repent, and they might be saved. Now, Amos is home. He has a thriving business as a sheep herder, as a tender of fig trees. And yet, because God called him, he said, no, I'm going to leave this, and I'm going to go. I'm going to travel outside of Judah. I'm going to travel north to Israel and I'm going to tell them hard words. Not because I want to go up there and I want to be a mean guy, but because I love God's people and I want them to know. And Amos now, as we come to chapter 3 and verses 3 through 8, he's backing up his message. He has told them and warned them of everything that is coming. He in verses 1 and 2, he has proclaimed, the Lord has spoken against you, you who he had known out of all the families of the earth, because of your iniquities. And Amos backs that up now by proclaiming to them that it is simply not Amos who is speaking this, but it is God who is speaking. I am only prophesying because the Lord God has spoken. And in order to demonstrate to his hearers the absolute certainty of God's coming judgment, Amos uses a series of natural causes and effects to show that when God speaks, the prophet must prophesy. And when the prophet prophesies, the people ought to listen, because when God speaks, he always follows up his word with action. And so as we look at this tonight, as we think about God giving advanced warning, I want you to understand that when God is going to act, he always gives advance warning. When God is going to act, he always gives advance warning. He gives advance warning every time. He gives it through his prophets and he gives it for our good. He gives it every time. And Amos begins in verse 3 to give these series of causes and effects that would be received by his audience and ought to be received by us as common sense. The first one he gives in verse 3 is this. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Now, the idea behind the word agreed here is, can two walk together unless they have agreed to meet or unless they have met? The idea here or the message from Amos is that God gives advance warning as surely as two walking together have met. If you see two people who are walking together, you can know one thing for certain. At some point they met up. It may have been intentionally, it may have been by appointment. They may have been walking outside and all of a sudden there they were. Now back in this day, they didn't have telephones, they didn't have the internet, they couldn't make an appointment on social media and say, I'm going to meet you here and we're going to walk. But they may have met up. And if they were walking together, you could know one thing. They met up and they were going in the same direction. And so Amos uses this illustration. Can't two walk together unless they are agreed? And the answer is, of course not. Of course not. They have to be walking in the same place. They have to be walking at the same time. They have to be walking in the same direction. And so Amos continues to lead his audience down this road. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? No, that's common sense. Of course they have to be together. They have to have met to walk together. He goes on and uses illustration from nature. Verse 4, will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has caught nothing? In other words, Amos says, God gives advance warning as surely as a lion roars after he's caught his prey, not before. Think about this. A lion, a hunting lion, would be a really bad hunter if he went around roaring all the time before he caught his prey. It'd almost be like going out into the forest and saying, here I am, prey, here I am, prey, here I am, prey. And he'd go home to his den and you'd hear his stomach grumble. Man, why am I so hungry? Well, maybe you announced yourself to every single prey out in the forest. No, he doesn't do that. A lion, when it hunts, doesn't give away its position. But when the lion roars, he has caught something. So they would have agreed with this. Yeah, okay, a lion is not going to roar when he has no prey. He's going to be sneaking around. He's going to be in stealth. He's going to be crouching and waiting to leap upon his prey. The same thing with a young lion. A young lion is not going to cry out of his den, give away the position. And the idea of den here may be the home or maybe their favorite hunting ground, their place of hiding. I think that's probably the point here. The young lion is not going to growl and give away their favorite hiding place until they've leapt and taken their prey. And so God's advance warning is going to come as surely as a lion roars after, not before, he has his prey in sight. And after he has caught his meal. It goes on with another illustration from nature. Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has caught nothing at all? The Hebrew behind verse 5, the first part of it, will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there is no trap for it? Can also be translated, where there is no bait for it. And that makes sense, doesn't it? What bird is going to swoop down into a trap where there's no bait? That doesn't make any sense. It's only going to catch a bird when there is bait in it. Or is there a snare on the ground that is all of a sudden, nobody's walked through it, no bird has come into it, no animal has walked through it, and all of a sudden, it snaps closed. That's not going to happen. No, an animal is going to be trapped when there's bait. A snare is going to spring up when an animal walks through it. These are common sense examples. And the answer to each of these is progressively no. Of course two can't walk together unless they meet. Of course a lion is not going to roar in the forest before he's caught his prey, or out of his den if he's caught nothing. Of course a bird is not going to swoop down into a snare when there is no bait, or a snare is not going to spring up when there's nothing to trip it. Of course not. And he goes on then to give an example from human civilization, a city, in verse 6. If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? That was the warning system. There were watchmen on the walls who were positioned to sound the trumpet when an enemy was approaching, giving ample warning, giving advance warning to those who were in the city, maybe to take up arms or maybe to flee. And like that tornado siren that I heard, it causes you to think, what's going on? Who knows if they did tests back in those days? It would be very difficult to get that word around. Okay, we're just testing the trumpets today, don't worry. But they blew the trumpets and the people knew if the trumpets were blown, that danger was imminent. And so, of course, the answer to if a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? They will be afraid. And of course, Amos here is a spiritual watchman. Think of the words out of Ezekiel 33. I'm going to read Ezekiel 33, 7 through 9. God is speaking to Ezekiel here. And he says this, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth and warn them for me. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the wicked to turn from his way, and he does not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. What God says here is, when he calls a person to speak his word, if that person fails to speak his word as he has given it, and people perish, God will hold the speaker accountable. But if the prophet warns the people, is faithful to the message that God has given him, and the people do not listen, then their blood will be on their own head. And so in all of this, Amos brings out this truth. As he continues down through all of these examples, all of these common sense examples, of course, his audience would agree with all of these. Of course that's true. Of course that's true. But then he's going to come and he's going to bring out even a greater illustration as we see that God gives advance warning, not only every time, as we can see from all of those examples, but also through his servants. We're going to come back to the second part of verse 6 as we deal with our third point. But in our second point, God gives advance warning through his servants. We see in verse 7 that God surely does nothing unless he reveals his secret to the servants, the prophets. Unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, God has a history of making his will known to chosen individuals. Think about Noah. We mentioned him earlier. God revealed to Noah that the flood was coming. He told him, this is what's going to happen. Now warn the people. God revealed, he brought Abraham into his council and revealed to him his plans for Sodom and Gomorrah, such that Abraham pled with God, if there be this many righteous there, spare the city. God makes his will known. And he has made his will known to Amos. He makes his will known, as we read here, he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, the prophets were a unique group of people. They were called to enter, as it were, into the presence of God, to hear him, whether it was through a vision or a dream or however God chose to spoke to them. They heard his word and they entered in and they stood in the very presence of God. Think of those words out of Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And later on he says, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. The prophet enters in to divine counsel. In Jeremiah 23 and verse 18, the Lord asks, who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and who has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Later he tells Jeremiah of those who were prophesying falsely. If they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Now, Jeremiah did stand in the counsel of God. Jeremiah was opposing those false prophets. Jeremiah had something revealed to him. He had received, as it were, the secret things of God. But God said, I'm giving them to you so that you can proclaim them openly to my people. Now, we know that the prophets had a unique calling, didn't they? In the Old Testament. We know that the great prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come. But we who are in him, we who are Christians, as the Catechism says, we share in that threefold anointing. Now, Christ is that Greek word for the Hebrew Messiah, which means anointed one. And we are Christians. We share in that anointing. We, with Christ, are prophets, priests, and kings. And so in a sense, we might say that we are all prophets. We all have received God's revelation. And God calls us to tell others about it. But God also calls those to the gospel ministry as he's called me, as he called the Apostle Paul. We read earlier from 1 Corinthians that Paul was called as an apostle. And Paul said, "Woe to me! Woe to me if I do not proclaim what God has given me, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." But I want you to understand that, yes, we can somewhat look at these prophets and think, wow, they really had a close walk with God. They entered into His divine counsel. They stood in His presence. But here's what Paul says of Christians in 1 Corinthians 2:16. He says, quoting the Old Testament, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him?" But then he says this, "But we have the mind of Christ." Now think about that for a moment. We have the mind of Christ. We are united to Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. We have His Word. We can read it and understand it and apply it. What a great blessing that is. And so we have something that the Old Testament prophets didn't have. We have the fuller revelation, don't we? But His servants, although they were entrusted with God's secret, God told them, "Don't keep it a secret. I have told you this for a reason. I have told you this for a purpose." You see, the servants were burdened with God's spoken word. Look with me again at verse 7. "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets." And then Amos goes on, "A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy?" I love this picture. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? If I was out in the middle of a forest, if I was out in the middle of someplace in Africa and I heard a lion roar and it was close, you better believe I would be afraid. And that's the picture here. The Lord has spoken. And when the Lord speaks to someone, how can that person, Amos says, be expected to be silent? Remember, those in Israel were telling Amos, "Be quiet, don't speak, don't speak, don't speak." And Amos says, "How can I help it? The lion has roared. God has spoken. Who can but prophesy?" One commentator puts it this way: the prophet acts under divine compulsion. A prophet does not choose his profession, but is chosen often against his own will. I mentioned Jonah earlier, remember? Jonah, go and prophesy. Ooh, let me get a ship to Tarshish because I'm not into this, God. Well, God has a way of bringing us to do His will. What about Moses, who was selected by God and he said, "God, I can't speak." In other words, "God, you picked the wrong guy. I can't do this." What about Jeremiah? "I'm a youth. Who am I, God, to speak your word?" But listen to these words from Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah says, "I'm not going to speak the word of God anymore." It says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of Him," that is the Lord, "nor speak any more in His name." And Jeremiah was under some great persecution. He says, "I'm not doing it anymore." But listen to what Jeremiah says. "But His word was in my heart, like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not." That's the same point that Amos is making here. When God calls a man to proclaim His word, that word becomes a fire in his bones and he cannot hold it in. He burned up from inside. It's the same thing that Paul says. It applies to the prophets in the Old Testament. It applies to gospel ministers today. We read earlier, Paul said, "Necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." God gives advanced warning through His servants, even through His reluctant servants. He uses them. But why is it that God does this? He gives advanced warning every time. He gives advanced warning through His servants. Does He do this just to make us fear and tremble and think, "Wow, this is coming. I can't escape it. There's no hope." No. God gives advanced warning for our good. He gives advance warning for our good. Look with me back at verse 6, that second half of it. Amos has been going down this list and giving these common sense examples to bolster his case. But then he ends with this in verse 6. If there is a calamity in a city, will not the Lord have done it? If something bad happens, is not God ultimately sovereign over all that occurs? You see, God gives advanced warning, and He can give advanced warning because He knows exactly what is going to happen. But I want you to understand that God is not a God sitting up in heaven thinking, how can I hurt people? What can I do to people today? How can I make their life miserable? God doesn't simply destroy cities or nations on a whim. Now, does God do that? Has God done that? Absolutely. He's destroyed all of humanity except for Noah and his family in the flood. He took Sodom and Gomorrah off the map. But He doesn't destroy cities or nations on a whim. In Ezekiel 18, verse 23, we read that God does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. He does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. Even in the flood, God gave so much time. Even with Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah, God, over and over, at Abraham's request, dropped the requirement for the righteous people in that city. God is so patient with us. Now God, see, this is where we get confused. We think that God somehow is required to be patient with us. But the reality is that when sin entered the world, God could have justly said, I'm done. But that wasn't His plan. His plan was redemption. His plan was the cross. His plan was the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God gives this advanced warning of what is coming. He knows what is coming. He gives advanced warning so that we might escape the coming judgment. Notice what is said here about God speaking. It's compared with a lion roaring in verse 8. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? This is not a weak warning. This is not a warning that anyone can say they did not hear. We're not told what it sounded like when the Lord spoke. It may have sounded like a roar to the prophets. It may have sounded, often in Scripture, it's compared to either the roar of a lion, it's compared to thunder. You know, people talk about, oh, I heard from the Lord in this gentle voice. No, I'm sorry, but when you hear from the Lord, you hear from the Lord. He thunders. He roars as a lion. You're not going to mistake that voice. Think of this, when they came to arrest Jesus, they said, which one of you is Jesus? And Jesus spoke, I am He. What happened? Did they say, wow, boy, what a soft voice He has? No. No, we read that they drew back and fell to the ground. They drew back and fell to the ground. And so God calls out as a lion roars. And when a lion roars, we ought to fear. When the Lord speaks, we ought to respond in an appropriate way. And so we find that God gives advance warning. Why? So that we might respond with fear. Not fear of condemnation, but a holy fear. A holy fear. Just as a person rightly responds with a healthy fear when a lion roars, so also we ought to respond with healthy fear when the Lord speaks. And this warning comes out. But it's a warning that is backed by an offer of grace. Always keep that in mind. It is a warning that is backed by an offer of grace, a way of escape. It's as if God is saying, here's the warning and here's the way that you can avoid it. Here's the problem, sin. Here's the remedy, the Savior. This is a call to repent and live, not to harden our hearts. This is a call not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in God. Not to turn away from Him to the things of the world, but to turn toward Him and to find Him and to seek Him. Not to reject His Word. Not to take His warnings lightly. You know, faith demands the receiving of God's Word is true. Rejection of the Word of God is rejection of God Himself. And Amos is trying to bring this up. It's not me, it's not Amos, and it's not my Word that I'm proclaiming, but the Lord God has spoken, and that's why I must prophesy. But the people of Israel, they were hardening their hearts. They were stopping up their ears. They did not want to hear what Amos had to say. And by extension, they did not want to hear what God had to say. But the lion had roared. God had spoken. And so even though Amos might have been going into a place where he thought nobody's going to listen to me, he was compelled to speak the truth. He had the burning, as Jeremiah did, in his bones. The Word of God had come into his heart, and his mouth could not hold it in any longer. He had to proclaim it. And so it is today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has revealed His Word. God has spoken. The lion has roared. And His gospel is going forth as His Word is proclaimed. And no one will ever be able to say, I didn't know. The heavens declare His glory. And here we have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's a warning. Judgment is coming. But there's also the witness that comes to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's the call to turn away from sin and to turn to Christ. The lion has roared, God has spoken, the call is clear. We must all heed the warning. But the good news is that God is so patient with us. But there will come a time. There will come a day when He has promised to judge the world in righteousness through the man He has appointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. As a faithful minister of God's Word, I cannot shy away from this truth. It would be unfair to you. It would be harmful to you not to speak the truth. But the call is simply this: do not be like the foolish person. If a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people be afraid? Well, I would hope so. Do not be like the foolish person who, when they hear an alarm of approaching danger, simply shrug it off and think, no big deal. Unlike the tornado siren I heard last week, this is not a test. This is not a test. To fail to respond to God's Word in faith is just like hearing the roar of a lion behind you and thinking, it's not coming after me. I won't be devoured. Or hearing a tornado siren and thinking, I don't have to take cover. Well, here's the call. And here's the invitation, really. Take cover. Flee. Hide yourself. Flee to the city of refuge. Remember those cities of refuge in the Old Testament where you could go and hide from the avenger of blood? Flee to Christ. Because in Him, I guarantee that you will find refuge. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we praise You for the kindness that You have shown to us in warning us in Your Word of sin and of judgment, but not leaving us to despair, but providing the hope of the gospel, that we know without doubt that we can flee to Christ, that we can come to You through Him and know that we have escaped the judgment to come, that there is no condemnation for us. Oh God, encourage our hearts this week and all the days of our lives with the truth of the gospel. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.